this crowd. I was carrying this thing around and kept referring to the screen behind me. Well, all along, the screen behind me wasn't working. Tonight, I'm going to carry this around, but I'm not going to ask you to refer to the screen behind me because my printer failed, so all of my notes are on the screen in front of me. So I'm just going to be clicking through to look at the notes in front of me rather than let you guys see what's behind me. But if you would go ahead and open your Bibles to Luke, the sixth chapter. Luke, the sixth chapter. I need to pull up a little something on my phone here. There are certain axioms or social norms, things that we all kind of just grow up being taught by our parents, probably from a very young age. Common sayings are just social norms that we learn in society as a whole, whether we're Christians or religious in any manner. And one of those that we often hear taught and often are more aware of is the golden rule. Of course, you know, most of us recite it as do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But, you know, I found this thing online that this is very common throughout the entire world and other religions throughout the world. In Hinduism, it's phrased, this is the sum of duty. Do not do to others what would cause pain if done to you. Buddhism, treat not others in ways that you yourself would find hurtful. Sikhism, I am a stranger to no one, and no one is a stranger to me. Indeed, I am a friend to all. Native spirituality, which I don't know what that is, but we are as much alive as we keep the earth alive. Zoroastrianism, do not do unto others whatever is injurious to yourself. Judaism, what is hateful to you, do not do to your neighbor. While this is the whole Torah, all the rest is commentary. My point being that a lot of the things that we learn growing up and social norms that we learn about in society are based on biblical principles. And so tonight I kind of want to take the golden rule and look at, not necessarily look at the golden rule as a whole, but kind of as a whole, but look at Luke the sixth chapter and see some things. And the title of my lesson based on this is just basically do unto others. And it's based on the passage of Scripture, Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 31. So I'm going to start just by reading those few verses. And it says, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And then the golden rule that we're also aware of is what basically is we see in verse 31, and as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. And then we see a corresponding verse to this as well over in Matthew the 7th chapter in verse 12 in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount says, so whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. So I just want to look a little bit at the context here leading up to this passage that we just read. In verses 17 through 19 of Luke chapter 6, after a night of prayer, Jesus comes down off the mountain and he names his apostles and he heals disciples that have come and gathered to hear him speak. He heals those with diseases and those with unclean spirits. And then we get into verses 20 through 26 and he starts pronouncing some blessings and some woes. And I want to look specifically at verses 22 and 23 at this moment. It says, blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven, for so their fathers did to the prophets. And then down in verse 26, it says, "Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets. So leading up to these verses that I read previously in verses 27 through 31, and specifically with this one blessing in verses 22 and 23, and the idea of feeling blessed when people hate you or revile you. If we apply the golden rule, or the idea behind the golden rule, and we treat others as we wish to be treated, in many cases, that's not necessarily going to make everyone happy. Sometimes we treat people in a way that we feel we would like to be treated, but they might take offense to that. So that may cause them to revile us or to hate us. So sometimes living according to the golden rule doesn't necessarily evoke the response that you expect from other people. And so I just kind of wanted to lead into that is, even if it evokes the wrong response, even if us applying the golden rule and striving to treat others as we would like to be treated doesn't necessarily have the reaction from them that we would like it to have, we should take to heart what we see in verses 22 and 23, that we should rejoice in the fact that we did what was right, that we're doing according to what Christ wants us to do and striving to treat others the way we would like to be treated, and rejoice in the fact, even if that causes harm to us and causes them to treat us maybe in a bad way. And the other thing, and why I brought up verse 26, is it says, "Woe to you when all people speak well of you," is exactly the opposite of what I was trying to get across, is because sometimes living according to the golden rule and doing unto others as we would want done to us may cause a bad response. If we're constantly striving to live so that the only thing people say about us is nice things, then we're probably not necessarily living correctly. Because if we're living right and we're treating people the way we would like to be treated and the way that Christ wants us to treat others, then more than likely we should evoke some negative responses at some point in time. So if all the people are saying about us is good things, then there might be a reason we might want to examine ourselves as to whether we are actually treating people in the way we should. So that's sort of the context leading up to these verses. And then in verses 27 through 30, before he actually gets to verse 31, where he mentions what is the principle behind the golden rule that we're so aware of and so knowledgeable of, Jesus tells the crowd things that they should be doing for others or giving to others that basically lead to that ultimate conclusion in verse 31. But notice that those things he mentions are things that we should be doing for those who are our enemies, those who hate us, those who revile us, those who say evil things about us. He's not talking about people who do good to us already. And we'll get into that further later on in our lesson. Now, leading up to this and then talking about doing unto others, I sort of developed this, what I'm calling the three T's of doing unto others. There are basically three ways we can do unto others or help and give unto others. We can do unto others with our time, we can do unto others with our talents, and we can do unto others with our treasures. So time, talent, and treasures. Turn with me to James, the fourth chapter, verses 13 through 17. All of these points, I've got two or three passages that I'm going to read. So I'm going to read the passages, and then we'll make some comments after I read the passages. So James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. "Come now, you who say, 'Today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit.' Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. Then over in 2 Peter, the third chapter. And verse 8. It says, but do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And then over in Mark chapter 13, verses 32 and 33, says, but concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. What do all three of these verses have in common, you may be asking? The idea I'm trying to get across, the point I'm trying to make, and I could have chosen many, many more verses, is that time for us is finite. Unlike God, where a day is as 1,000 years, or 1,000 years is as one day, time for us is finite. And it's also a vapor. It's like a mist in the wind. We don't know when it's going to end. And like, as we know, of the judgment, at some point our time will end. Whether it ends because the judgment occurs, Christ comes back, or it ends because, again, our time is finite here upon this earth. But the point I'm trying to make is, time is finite. But time is also, that finite amount of time is something that we have and that we are stewards of, that we can use to do unto others, to help others, to give back to others, and to be of service to others. So that is one of the three T's of doing unto others, is using our time, the time that we have available, even though we don't know exactly how much time that is, which should help us to make sure that it's very precious and that we use it wisely. The second T of doing unto others is talent. Turn to 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, and verse 10. It says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. And then over in Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 5 through 8, it says, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts with mercy, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. So again, we have certain talents, we have certain abilities, we have certain skills that we can use to help others. Now, these verses, many of these verses again are talking about spiritual abilities, things that we have and skills that we have to help, whether it be in the worship service or in spreading the gospel and teaching, which again should be something we should be wanting to do for others and do unto others. Teaching is a responsibility that we have. But even if we want to do unto others as we want others to do unto us, even from the realm of just physical blessings and doing things like that, we should use the skills and abilities that we have to help others. Now, nobody here wants me helping them if they got a broken down car. Trust me. But there may be something that I can help someone with. If someone's having a problem with their taxes, I can help you with that maybe. If someone's having problems with bookkeeping or something with an accounting, a knowledge I have, a skill I have, then maybe I can help you with that. But there are things that we should use our skills and our abilities for in helping others and doing unto others. And again, from the standpoint of applying the golden rule, we should be willing to do those things for those who despise us just as much as we should be willing to do those things for those who do not. And then the third T of doing unto others, again, is treasure or treasures. And here, just because I was trying to make it the three T's, of course, I could have just said money or finances, but three T's sounded a whole lot better than two T's and an M. But turn with me here, actually. We're just going to refer, actually, to two separate parables, and I'm not going to read the parables because they're rather lengthy, but they're both in Matthew, the book of Matthew. So if you turn over to Matthew, and many of you are probably aware of where I'm going here. The parable of the unforgiving servant in Matthew, the 18th chapter, verses 23 through 35. Most of us can probably, sit and tell the story to one another of this parable, what this parable is. In verse 24, we find out that a servant owed his master 10,000 talents. In verses 26 and 27, the servant asked for patience. Now, the servant didn't ask for forgiveness. The servant just asked for patience from his master so that he could pay the debt back. But the master felt for him and actually forgave the debt. And then, of course, we know that this unforgiving servant in verses 28 through 30 turned around and he found someone else who only owed him 100 denarii. And he actually had him thrown in prison for this. Now, oftentimes, this parable is used, in a lesson maybe on forgiveness. But where I want to make the application as to this lesson or from this parable is, if this unforgiving servant had been living according to the golden rule, as we often refer to it as, if he had been treating others the way he wanted to be treated, he went in to meet with his master knowing he owed 10,000 talents. And he was willing to ask for patience, and he received forgiveness. If nothing more, when he went out and found someone that owed him 100, if nothing more than forgiveness, he should have been willing to offer patience. Because he should have been treating that person the same way that he wanted to be treated by his master. And so, he should have been willing to have patience or to forgive based on applying the golden rule. And then we also see in Matthew, the 25th chapter, the parable of the talents in verses 14 through 30. And we're actually going to be making more references later on in the lesson to some of the verses in this. But, we know that, again, we're very familiar with the story. A master gave his servants 1 5, 1 2, 1 1 talent. The one with five went out and gained five more. The one with two went out and gained two more. The one with one buried it in the ground. But the ones who did something and, acquired more with their talents or used the talents that they were given to make more talents, were successful and they were rewarded for that. Whereas the one who hid his talent or hid the talent that was given to him was not. He was deemed as unprofitable. The idea that I want to get across is, whatever we are blessed with physically in helping and being able to do unto others, all of us may not be able to do unto others with time, talent, and treasure. Some of us may only be able to give of our time. Some of us may only be able to give of our talent. And some of us may only be able to give of our treasure. Maybe we don't have a lot of extra time, but we can help someone in a financial way. Or we have the physical means that we can help someone financially. Or, some of us may have a special talent that we can use to help others. But these are the three T's of doing unto others, the ways that we can help others. And actually, Stephen made reference to John the 13th chapter this morning, in verses 12 and 16 in his lesson, 12 through 16 in his lesson. And it says, when he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. I guess my point, my main point that I'm trying to get across in this lesson, the idea of do unto others, is that doing unto others isn't just something that we do out of obligation. If we truly take to heart what Jesus wants us to be and what the Bible wants us to be, He wants us to be servants. And what better way to be a servant than to do unto others? To provide, to be a servant unto others. To be a servant physically, to be a servant spiritually, and to be an example through that service by helping others. So I've talked a lot about things here, as far as doing unto others, the three T's of doing unto others. Now I want to go back to Luke the 6th chapter and dive just a little deeper into exactly what we should be doing unto others or for others. If we just, without reading all of verses 27 through 31 again, I just want to pull out some highlights here of some of the things that we're told to be doing unto others. In verse 28, or verse 27, it says love. In verse 27, it also says to do good. In verse 28, it says to bless. In verse 28, it says to pray. In verse 29, it says to offer. In verse 30, it says to give. Now, I mentioned earlier that all of these things are references to love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you, offer the other cheek to one who strikes you on the first cheek, and to give to one who begs. So these are all things that we can do unto others or to help others. But then if we look down in verses 32 through 36, he provides a little more guidelines as far as how this is to work. It says, if you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners and get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. So again, the idea here, and again, I think the reason that this section of verses from verses 27 through 36 is dealing with doing good and doing these good things to those who are evil and those who are your enemies or those who despise you is to get off the point. If you can do good to those people, then you should be able to do good to everyone. So now looking at these ways that we can do good, we know that we're being told to do good to our enemies, to love our enemies. But now I want to take those ideas of love, doing good, blessing, praying, and giving, and look at some other passages in the Bible related to those actions that we can be taking toward others. Turn with me to Romans 12th chapter. Verses 20 and 21. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. John the 15th chapter and verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And there he's referring to loving one another. He's not necessarily referring to loving your enemies or to loving or to limiting that love in any scope or fashion. Turn over to Proverbs. And I'll tell you, every one of these is going to have at least some reference to Proverbs. So if you want to keep your finger in Proverbs, it's going to be different sections of Proverbs, but I will be referring to Proverbs multiple times. Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, verses 3 and 4. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. The idea here again is we need to have love for everyone. We need to have love and being willing to do unto others and show that love, express that love toward not only our enemies, not only those who revile us or abuse us in some fashion, but we should be able and willing to express that love to everyone, our brothers, our sisters in Christ, those outside in the world, and our friends and our families. Excuse me. Now turn with me to Galatians, the 6th chapter. And verse 2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And then in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verse 16, it says, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. And then again, back over in Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, just a few verses down, in verse 27, it says, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in your power to do it. So the idea of doing good unto others, if it's within our power to do good, we should be doing good. And we should be doing good to those, again, no matter whether they're friend or foe or brother or sister or anything. But if it's within our power to do good, we should be doing so. And then the idea of blessing others. Philippians, the 2nd chapter. Verses 3 and 4. Says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. And then in 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, and verse 9, it says, do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. And then again, back over in Proverbs, we're going to turn over to the 11th chapter. Verses 25 to 27. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. The people curse him who holds back grain, but a blessing is on the head of him who sells it. Whoever diligently seeks good seeks favor, but evil comes to him who searches for it. Again, the idea here is bringing blessing, or providing blessings, or blessing others. You know, we're to bless those who despise us. We're to bless those who love us. We're to bless others and do what we can to help them in any way. And again, in Philippians, as we read, it says to do so, to look only at, not only at your own interest, but to the interest of others. If we're constantly focused on ourselves and no one else, then we're not going to be willing to provide blessings or to bless others, because we're only going to be focused on ourselves and blessing ourselves and doing anything we can to help ourselves. Now we want to look at a few passages related to prayer and praying for others. James chapter 5 and verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. And then also in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people. And actually, it even follows in verse 2 to expand upon that. For kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. And then again, over in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 29, says, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. Who best to pray for others, whether they be wicked or whether they be righteous? Who best to do so other than one who we know that God will hear? God hears the prayers of the righteous. If we don't pray for those who are wicked, if we don't pray for those who treat us poorly, who are our enemies, who's going to pray for them? Who's going to hear those prayers? Because if someone evil is praying for them, then God's not going to hear him, because God hears the prayers of the righteous. And then along the idea of giving unto others, we want to turn back to, first we want to go to 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter, and verse 8. It says, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And then over in Matthew, the 25th chapter, verses 35, 36, and then 40. It says, for I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And then we drop down to verse 40, after the righteous had asked him, when did this happen? And he said, and the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. And then over in Proverbs again, the 11th chapter, and verse 24, it says, one gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give, and only suffers want. So again, we need to have this giving attitude of doing unto others and being able to give and help others with our giving attitude. Because as it says, if we're not willing even to take care of our own family, then that doesn't say much about us as well. And then we're also told to help others and to give unto others. And the one who gives The one who brings blessing is going to be enriched, and the one who gives freely yet grows all the richer. So again, we want to make sure we have this giving attitude. So in conclusion to my lesson, the concept of doing unto others is not foreign to Christians or to those in the world, as we've seen. Again, even those who are maybe aren't faithful or not very, religious will usually teach their kids the golden rule at a very young age. Whether they live it or not, they'll teach it to their kids. But in doing unto others, what we should not do is we should not be seeking notoriety. We should not be doing so dependent upon others doing good to us first. We should not be doing so expecting the same in return. Because if you do something good for an enemy, you aren't necessarily always going to get the same in return. And we should not be seeking a reward. Turn over again to Proverbs. Chapter 19. And in verse 17 it says, "Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed." We aren't good to others because we're seeking a reward or something in return for doing so. Our reward is in heaven. The ultimate reward that we are after is in heaven. And again, back over in Matthew, the 25th chapter, where we just left. And in verse 34, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" We need to make sure that when we're doing unto others, when we're striving to apply the golden rule to our lives and to live in service to those round about us, whether they be brethren or whether they not, we need to make sure that we're doing so with the right attitude and that we're striving to do so because our ultimate reward will be salvation in heaven for living according to the teachings and the principles that God has laid out for us in His Word. And not because we're seeking notoriety from those in the world, and not because we want everyone to say nice things about us all the time. So we need to strive to seek for that reward, that ultimate reward, in doing unto others. If there are those here who have not put Christ on in baptism, they have that opportunity now. And if there are any here who maybe have put Christ on in baptism but have not been living a righteous life or have been living in ways that they shouldn't and they want to make those things known, you have the opportunity now as we stand and sing.